Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 19 years now. We have been bringing these messages to you. And we thank the Lord for this day, for all the good messages that have come to us and we relay to you. And so today we're going to be talking about part two of God and politics. And of course, with the U.S. election coming up first week in November, this is a very important subject, an appropriate subject. And whether you're a believer or not, you're going to participate in this election one way or another. And whether you vote or not, you're going to participate in one way or another because the policies and the programs and all of the government decrees, government issues and edicts are going to affect you. And so you might as well make up your mind. You're going to get involved in politics. You ignore politics at your own peril, especially this day and age and with the kind of people we have running for president and other offices as well. So today we're going to be talking about part two of God and politics, and you can open up your Bible to Romans chapter 13. We're going to review there for just a minute. Today, before we jump into the message today, we're going to tell you briefly just a minute about what's going on here in Africa. We have all the children back in school. If you'd like to be a part of helping the children stay in school and continue in school, we'd love to have you help support the school fee project. We're supporting about 25 to 30 children in various schools here in the Makunda region. Some are in boarding schools, secondary schools, some are in primary schools, public schools, and we have some four different students that are in disabled situations, disabilities, and so we have special schools for them here in Kenya as well, just like as in the USA. So we want to ask you to help us bless those children. We're also praying about building a primary school in Makunda. We have an acre of land, nice acre flat and full acre, and right beside it is a shorter acre, and we want to buy that. And so we're in negotiation with the landlord for that acre. And if you can help us with that, once we get 2 acres put together, we're going to start building a primary school. So if you have any idea you'd like to help with that, help support that project, get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can help you to help us get the kingdom moving for a primary school there in Makunda, a Muslim village right in the heart of Kenya. And so God is driving a stake into that village with a kingdom pursuits, kingdom people, and kingdom projects right in the midst of Makunda Village. Well, today we're going to continue with part two in our series on God and politics. And again, this is a continuation of what we learned last week. If you weren't with us last week, I'm going to review just a little bit from Romans chapter 13. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Romans chapter 13. And we'll look at that just very briefly as a review. But the reason this is important, the reason I'm preaching on this today and last week and maybe next week as well, is that many Christians think that we should not get involved in politics as born-again believers, that we are not to get sullied by the world, we're not to get our hands dirty in the world. And there's a little bit of truth to that too. Jesus said, you are not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But we have overcome the world through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, you are no longer of this world. Your citizenship is in heaven, and you are no longer a citizen of this world. Yes, you may have a passport. Yes, you may have a driver's license, but you are a citizen of heaven. You can engage in activities of the world without being of the world, without being committed wholly 100% to the world. And the reason that you engage in those activities is to show them the kingdom of God. When Jesus in Matthew 10:8 sent out the disciples to the lost house of Israel, he said, go to the lost house of Israel, not to Samaria and not to the Gentiles, but go to the lost house of Israel and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Well, the reason he sent them out was because if they would just stayed in their little cubbyhole, if they had just stayed in their cave, they would not have been able to cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers. And he wants the very same thing for us. He tells us to go to the nations. And yes, we're supposed to preach. Praise God for that. Yes, we're supposed to build churches. Praise God for that. Yes, we're supposed to build Bible colleges and clinics and hospitals and schools. How many of you are doing that? Well, I praise God that some of you are through this ministry, Gather the Outcasts, and through other missionary pursuits, other ministries sent out to other nations around the world. But freely you have received, freely you give. And so the only way, believers, the only way that we can change the world, the only way is you have to get involved with the world. That doesn't mean you go down to the local bar and get drunk every night. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about engaging with the people of the world. Well, praise God, in the United States of America, we have a system that was ordained by God, given to us by God, and it was set in place by men of God. Many of them who signed the Declaration of Independence were preachers of the gospel. In fact, 21 of the signers were men of divinity, had been to Bible colleges, divinity colleges, were preachers of the gospel. 21 of the 50 signers were actually preachers of the gospel. So don't say that America was not founded on Christian principles, that it was not founded as a godly nation or a nation ordained by God. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and people that say that don't know the documents of the founding fathers of the United States of America. Read the Constitution, read the Declaration of Independence, read the Bill of Rights, read all the documents of the founding fathers and what they said about this nation, what they said about their commitment to it, what they said about their reasons and their motivations for them getting personally involved. It wasn't so that they could go sit in a cave and everything would be hunky-dory, everything would be nirvana and peaches and cream. They got involved so that the kingdom of God would come into the world in the United States of America. And Jesus told the disciples when he sent them out, he said, when you do these things, when you raise the dead and you heal the sick and you cleanse the lepers and you cast out demons, tell them and they will know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, nothing has changed in 2,000 years. We're still dealing with a sin-sick world. We're dealing with a world full of Gentiles, full of Samaritans, full of pagans that don't know their right hand from their left when it comes to spiritual matters. They don't know the kingdom of God. And so we can't just sit in our churches, in our padded pews, in our air-conditioned buildings and say, Lord, I can't get my hands dirty in the world. Please, please, please don't email me and tell me that. Don't email me and tell me that the kingdom of God is going to come into the world without the people of God taking it into the world. So please listen to this scripture. I didn't make it up. Don't get mad at the preacher. This comes from God's word, and it comes from Romans chapter 13, which is just one little example of how God gets involved in politics and gets involved in the affairs of men and the policies. That's politics, the policies of men. And God isn't going to just sit back and let the devil have this world. If you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and you acknowledge Father God, Jehovah God, as your God, the more Americans acknowledge God, the more God is going to get involved in the affairs of the men and women of the United States of America. Let me repeat that. The more Americans acknowledge God and Jesus Christ, the more God will get involved in the policies and the politics and the affairs of the people of the United States of America. And you ask, well, why doesn't he get involved in North Korea, or why doesn't he get involved in China? He does to some extent, but because the people there, for the most part, are worshipers of idols. They're Buddhists, they're Hindu, they're Taoists, or whatever, Muslims. They're worshipers of idols. They don't acknowledge Jehovah God, and so he does not get involved in the affairs of those countries. That's why they're run by despotic communist rulers and communist dictators. And so as a result of that, they have what they ask for. All right, in Romans 13, 1, I'm just going to give a review of these first five or six scriptures, first five or six verses in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. It says, God has ordained human government. Verse 2, anarchy is not of God. The laws of the land must be obeyed. It's not God's will that there be anarchy in the land. He doesn't want people coming up to the intersection and fighting over who goes next through the intersection, jumping out of their cars, chopping each other with pongas, or shooting each other. That is not God's will. He wants to see order. He wants to see peace. Shalom. He wants to see people get along with each other. And so in every nation where there's chaos and confusion, and much chaos and confusion, you know that the devil is reigning. And where there's communist dictators and people with no ability to freely communicate and free speech and freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, all that kind of stuff, you know that there are communist dictators who suppress the rights of people to associate and to have freedom to speak and freedom of the press and all of these freedoms that we have come to know in America. Well, verse 3, the divine right of government is to protect citizens and to oppose crime. That is the divine right of government. It is not God's will that people are murdering each other. Yes, it happened in the Bible, in the first family. Cain rose up and murdered his brother Abel. That was not the will of God. That was a result of the fallen man. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, then things started to happen that were not the primary first will of God. Well, verse 4, the sword is a symbol of government right to oppose crime and carry out punishment. The sword is represented by the police, the National Guard, the Highway Patrol, local constables, local judges, and all of these people that are charged with keeping the peace, maintaining order in the community, maintaining order in the city. It's not God's will that people riot and go in and tear up people's businesses, tear up people's property, set all their cars on fire, set all their businesses on fire. That is from the pit of hell. That is not God's will. And when you see that happening, you know one of two things is happening. The constables and the authorities charged with keeping the law have shirked their duty or neglected their duty, or they are intentionally allowing those things to happen. And you see that happening in some states in the United States of America, where thievery and shoplifting, and in California, you can just go in any store you want and steal up to $1,000 worth, carry out a big screen TV. Nobody's probably going to stop you. Nobody's even going to try to stop you. And that is because the authorities there, they don't understand the God of order, the God who is opposed to anarchy and chaos. And so for that reason, you have encouragement of chaos. You have encouragement of anarchy. You have encouragement of people to disobey laws and to disregard other people's rights to their property. Well, verse 5. Christians are called to be subject to the laws of the land. As a born-again believer, you are not to go in and steal people's property. You're not to change the borders and the property lines of your neighbor. You're not to go steal his car or his tractor or anything else that belongs to him. You're not to steal his wife. All of these things have been laid out not only in the Ten Commandments, but in the laws of God, because we are to protect not only our own stuff, but we're supposed to be protecting our neighbors. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you don't like your neighbor come stealing your stuff, why would you want to go steal your neighbor's stuff? That just makes good sense, and that's God's way of bringing peace and shalom into the community. Verse 6, for this cause, the establishment of human government, the people are taxed, and they must pay taxes to the public servants. Government is an institution to be honored and respected. And so when people lose respect for the government, when people lose respect for the police, or even worse than that, they say, let's just defund the police. Let's just fire all the police. We don't need them. We'll send out the social workers. We'll send out the psychologists. We'll send out somebody with a violin and let them play the violin while the city burns. That is just ignorance and stupid, and it will not work in America. It won't work in Kenya, and it won't work in any other city in the world. Well, I'm going to go back to Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. Let me repeat that. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. And yes, God is a sovereign God. He can turn the king's heart any way that he wants, but mostly he turns it according to the wishes and the will of the people that are in alignment with Jehovah God. He turns it according to the will of the people who want to take the initiative and do something prophetic for their nation and go into the voting booth and vote. Do you understand? Do you see, beloved, that voting is a prophetic act? You're making a declaration over yourself, over your family, over your community, over your nation. You're making a prophetic declaration. This is what I want my community to be for the next 4 years, or for the next 2 years, or for whatever length of time. In Kenya, we have 5-year presidencies, and so a president can serve for 2 terms, so it could be 10 years. And so this is a prophetic act. You are speaking over yourself and your nation through your vote. And so it's very important who you vote for. Who aligns with the will of God for your nation? Who aligns with the will of God through your vote, that you know the things of God are going to be carried out when this person is in office, when this person is president, or when this person is the governor of the land? Well, I'm going to read here before we go on to look at specific examples of how God gets involved in politics. I'm going to read the preamble to the Constitution of the United States, because there's people who make this argument. Well, we have freedom of religion in America. Praise God, that's right. And the government is not to establish religion. Praise God, that's right. And the government is not to force religion down the throats of any person. Praise God, that's right. But we have a government that was formed by people who came to the United States with the sole intent and purposes to establish freedom to meet, freedom to have their religion, freedom to specifically worship Jehovah God. They were not of other religions. They were of Christian religion. They came to America for freedom of religion, and that was their vision for this new nation, that the freedom that they desired for themselves would be imparted to all the people who came to this land. And beloved, I can tell you, living here in Kenya, living here in Africa, there are many, many people that envy the United States of America. I had a lady just last week ask me, would I give her a US dollar? She wanted to see the words "In God We Trust" on that US dollar. And people here in Kenya would give a just about anything if they could come to the USA to live, because they know we are a beacon of light, not just for economy, not just so that they can get a job, so they could come and have freedom to enjoy their religion, freedom to assemble, freedom to speak, all of these freedoms, freedom of the speech, freedom of press, all of these freedoms we have in America. Why do people want to come to America? It's so that they can have these freedoms and enjoy them. And this was embedded in the Constitution, all the founding documents. It wasn't just by accident. That's what the founders of our great nation believed in. Well, here's the preamble. We, the people of the United States. Then they laid out five different reasons why they wanted to establish a United States of America and a new nation. We, the people of the United States. Number one, in order to form a more perfect union. Number two, to establish justice. Number three, to ensure domestic tranquility. Number four, provide for the common defense. And number five, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, that is our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And so you think about all those different reasons to establish justice. Well, we haven't always been a perfect nation. There's been things that have been very unjust about the laws of the nation, about the people of the nation, about the laws of the different states, and it led eventually to a civil war. But because God had ordained justice to be part of the encoded establishment of this nation, the ordaining of this nation, slavery could not continue to exist, and the freedom of the slaves came about because God could not tolerate slavery. It could not be abided in this United States of America. And so eventually God used a man named Abraham Lincoln and others to set the slaves free, set the captives free, to ensure domestic tranquility. It's as I spoke again, it's not God's will for gangs to go in and destroy people's property, destroy people's business, take over apartment complexes. That is not in God's will. Provide for the common defense. God wants us to have a strong military. There is such a thing as just war. Study it for yourself. Google it, just war. There is just warfare. God has given us the ability and the blessing to be able to defend ourselves, even to the point where somebody comes into your property, you don't have to let them rape your wife and kill your children and walk off with your TV. You have a right to defend and take care of your property, and the state and the government will back you up in that right. And to secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. It's not just about you, beloved. This election coming up isn't just about you. It's about your children. It's about your grandchildren. It's about your great-grandchildren. And praise God, I hope Jesus comes back soon, but don't count on that. It may be a long time because the gospel message has not been preached to all the nations. And if you look at Matthew 24:14, it says, and the message of the gospel will be preached in all the nations as a witness to the nations, and then the end shall come. Well, we're not there yet. And so don't hang your hat on the fact that you can just sit back and do nothing. Go to the voting booth, go to the poll, and cast your vote. Start thinking about yourself and your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. What kind of America do you want to leave for them? What kind of America do you want your grandchildren to inherit? Are they going to have so much debt that all the money they make is just going to go to pay the national debt? Are they going to have such insecurity that they're not even going to have any security living in their own home or in their own compound? They're going to have guns at their side everywhere to go, and it will be just like the Wild West days back in Dodge City, everybody shooting each other. And it probably was more sane and civil back then than it even will be in some days in the days ahead coming up. Well, the First Amendment reads like this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You have a right to exercise your own religion, your own faith, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And so that is the First Amendment to the Constitution. Well, a couple more proverbs, and then we're going to have to close here. We'll take this up again next week. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, or when the righteous reign, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Well, if you want to hear the people groaning, just have the wicked in power, and the people will groan. Proverbs 29:4, the king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overflows it, that is, overflows the justice, and the bane of any nation is political leaders who are always on the take. Proverbs 29:8, scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. Well, you think about the cities, Portland, Seattle, you think about Minneapolis, the cities that have been set aflame the last few years. It was mostly because of scoffers, people who don't really believe in the rule of law, people who don't really believe in God and his son, Jesus Christ. And so there you are. The Bible says scoffers set a city ablaze. Well, that's going to be all for today. We're running out of time. We'll take up some more of this next week with some specific examples of how God gets involved in the individual affairs of nations and people. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. We'd love to hear from you to help support this radio ministry. We'd love to hear from you to help support the projects we have going in Africa. If you have any questions, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we'll talk it over and get you involved, get you on the same page that we're on with these projects and with the kingdom of God as we move forward here in Africa. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.